having the wisdom of God that comes from the Holy Spirit. I emphasize the fact that the scriptures are authored by the Holy Spirit, and they are interpreted by the Holy Spirit. So tonight we look at the scriptures, and I want to think of them in particular in relationship to the work of the Holy Spirit. So we begin by noting that there's a beauty and sufficiency in the Word of God. I have been talking about how do we know God's will for our lives. I spoke first negatively. It's not by seeking signs or wonders. It's not by putting out fleeces. It's not by seeking open and closed doors. But it is through the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to then apply the Word of God to our lives. I emphasize that the Scriptures do not speak particularly to every single decision we have to make in life, but the principles of Scripture do govern every aspect of our life. And so tonight, we look at the Scriptures from that standpoint. So the key verse for tonight is Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Answer, by keeping it according to God's word. Transitional statement. Every facet of our being is to be guarded through a proper utilization of God's word. So our theme tonight is, how is every facet of our lives guarded through a proper utilization of God's word? Well, first, we guard our lives by seeking God through the medium of God's word. Psalm 119:10, with my heart I have sought thee, do not let me wander from thy commandments. We're going to work our way through this particular section of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in particular is an ode to the wonders and glories of God's word. So it begins in this section by saying, how can a young person cleanse their way? Answer, by a proper utilization of God's word. And then we find in verse 10 that the goal of Bible reading, or knowing the Bible, is to know God. To know God. It is not simply to know the Scriptures. The Scriptures are not an end in and of themselves. It isn't a matter of just trying to master that book, but the Scriptures are the medium by which God reveals himself to us. God speaks to us through his word. That's why he gave us the Scripture. So we should read the Scripture as though we are hearing the voice of God. I don't think that we emphasize that often enough. The language that we use, including the language that I use, often refers to the human element of the Scriptures. I'll say Paul wrote, or Paul said, or Peter teaches us, or what have you, but those are the human instruments, but they are the instruments through whom God speaks. And the words that they speak are ultimately God's words. And so we need to constantly keep in mind that when we are reading God's word, and the purpose is to hear from God so we might know him, and then extrapolated from that, know his will and know his desire for our lives. So B, closely associated with that, the way to know God is through a knowledge of his word. Psalm 119:94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. In 2 Peter 3:15, it says, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, their own destruction. I've always found that to be a very interesting portion of scripture, because there is Peter writing in his own day concerning the writings of the Apostle Paul, and he, that is Peter, refers to them as scripture and places them in the canon, if you will, alongside of the other holy scriptures. Notice, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So the Bible didn't come down to us through the church and was ultimately canonized and declared to be God's word through some council. Now, obviously, there were councils, and obviously the church has made declarations concerning the scripture, but my point to you is that from the get-go, from day one, when the apostles were writing, they understood that they were writing authoritative pieces that were in keeping with the Old Testament canon. Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest, being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." My point in quoting this passage is that it is through the scriptures that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without our reading the scriptures, we are going to stunt our growth. We read that the scriptures, we should desire them like a newborn babe. We should desire the pure milk of the Word of God. We are going to stunt our spiritual growth if we deprive ourselves, if we starve ourselves of the Word of God. We're not going to know God as we should. We're not going to know His will for our lives. We are going to be woefully inadequate. See, the way to experience God is through a faithful adherence to His commandments. "With my heart I have sought Thee. Do not let me wander from Thy commandments." If we want to know God, it is through then not just an awareness of what God says concerning Himself and what we're to do, but it's by faithfully adhering to what God tells us to do. It is through the parting of the Red Sea, when they were willing to walk through that parted sea, that they really came to understand who God was. It was through the walking around the city of Jericho day after day for 7 days, by keeping the commandments of God, they saw God's power revealed. It's in our keeping of God's word that we see Him at work. You know, it's how do we learn of His supply? How do we learn of His sufficiency? Well, it's through our giving of tithes and offerings. As we faithfully give to Him, we see the way in which He provides for us. But if we don't follow His commands, we don't see His power displayed. Number two, we guard our sinful tendencies by memorizing God's word. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Hey, while there may be many good reasons to memorize the word of God, and there are, this verse focuses on memorizing God's word as a means to prevent us from sinning. "That I might not sin against Thee." The Word of God convicts us of sin. Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us of our own sinful thoughts and desires. So as we read the Word of God, He speaks to us by showing us where we woefully come short. The Word of God provides us with a weapon against sin. Ephesians 6, 13 and following. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is the Spirit's, that is the Holy Spirit's, sword. It is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is going to use to help us on the offensive against evil. All the other armaments are defensive armaments. The one offensive weapon we have in our arsenal is the Word of God. That helps us battle evil on all levels. Indeed, we have in the person of Jesus a classic example of how to use scriptures to overcome sin. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus not only knew the scriptures, he used the scriptures, and he didn't use them in some kind of mystical or magical cantation. Thank you. That's the word I am trying to pronounce. It wasn't abracadabra, okay? It's not just throwing scripture out there and it is in some kind of magical way going to defeat the evil one, but the scripture that he quoted was applicable to the situation in which he found himself. It was meaningful. It spoke to the issue. He understood the temptation that Satan was bringing against him, and he had a message to thwart the message of the evil one. So it is good for us to purposefully, intentionally memorize scripture in areas where we struggle. Areas in which we find it difficult to behave and act the way that we want to behave, the way that we want to act. So that if we struggle with our thought life, if we struggle with fantasy, pornography, whatever the situation may be, but our thoughts are impure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we meditate on the scriptures. We memorize the scriptures. If we have a difficulty getting up in the morning, as the door turns upon its hinges, so doth a sluggard upon its bed. I love that verse, just rolling over back and forth and not getting out of bed. There are many, many practical verses to memorize, to commit to scripture, that we find ourselves in situation, it speaks to us. Thirdly, we guard our study of God's word by asking God to instruct us. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We need a proper balance of study and prayer as we seek to understand the scripture. We need to study, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we should pray as we study, and we should study as we pray. We need a proper balance in understanding spiritual authorities. We should understand that the ultimate spiritual authority is God and His Word. Psalm 119, verse 99, it says, "I have more insight than all my teachers, For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. So there is more to be learned than what secular knowledge has to offer us. There is more to be learned than what simple experience can teach us. The Word of God is superior to that. But two, we should not quickly dismiss earthly authorities in the teaching of God's Word, but rather have a teachable spirit. In Acts chapter 17, a passage that you know well, but let's look at it. Now, when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ." But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, coming upon the house of Jason. They were seeking to bring them out to the people. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the word with eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women men. I think sometimes verses 11 and 12 get turned on their head. And that is that people listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God with a great deal of skepticism. And the idea is that, well, then we need to go to the Word of God to check them out, to make sure that what we're hearing is the truth. But what this passage is saying is that they received the Word with eagerness. They welcomed what Paul had to say, and they gave him a fair hearing because they went to the Scriptures to see if these things were really true. And they found that, yes, indeed, they were true. See, the others rejected it out of hand in Thessalonica. But in Berea, they were willing to listen, to be instructed, to be taught, and then go to the Scriptures and then yield to what the Scriptures had to say. So we should come with an open-mindedness. We should come with an expectation that we are hearing the truth, and then go back, and if we hear something that sounds foreign to what I've believed or what I've understood the Word of God to say, not just dismiss it, but go to the Scriptures and say, is what I heard true? Or isn't it? But not just quickly dismiss it. For God has given us not only the Scriptures, but He's also given us gifts which are people. He gave us pastors and teachers to help us understand the Word of God. And so we need to submit to other people's hearing and teaching the Word of God. And it's easy to say, oh, well, pastor, that's good for you because you get to sit up front and, you know, you're teaching. So basically what you're saying is, we need to listen to you. No, what I'm saying is that we need to be willing to be instructed by others. And so I can guarantee you that when I'm preparing messages, that yes, I'm spending a lot of time in the Word of God myself, but I'm also spending my time with a lot of other commentaries and books that help me understand what the Scripture has to say. You see, if I believe that the Word of God is going to be helpful, you know, as you as a Sunday school teacher, you as you instruct your children, your grandchildren, if you expect what you have to say to be profitable for someone else, then I have to believe that what someone else has to say is going to be profitable for me as well. My point is the Holy Spirit uses others in helping us understand his truth. So when we are praying for understanding, that doesn't limit that the way in which that understanding is going to come is that the Holy Spirit is just going to ooze that understanding into our hearts and minds. I may have given this illustration before, but we had one young man come before our ministerial candidate committee, and he prided himself in the fact he'd only read 6 books because he said, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. And that's when I challenged him and said, well, do you expect anybody to listen to you? Do you really expect anybody is going to come to the church to hear what you have to say? He said, well, I certainly hope so. And I said, well, why don't they just sit home and let the Holy Spirit teach them? If you believe they're going to profit from what you have to say, you need to learn that you can profit from what other people have to say. There's an arrogance if we aren't willing to allow other people to instruct us. So when the psalmist is saying, I have more knowledge than all my teachers, he's not degrading learning from others. Moving on. We guard our teaching, counsel, and advice by being faithful to God's word. With my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. If we're not careful, we can at times give very ungodly counsel. That's why we need to know the word of God. It is good to go to other people for counsel, to other people for godly advice. Last week, I talked about the importance of knowing all of Scripture. That's hard to do. So seek out wise people that know the Scriptures and can share with you principles of what the Word of God has to say. And then when we're on the side of giving that counsel, well, it would better be godly counsel that we are giving, not just our own opinion, but we are giving it by truth. That's why I think exposition of Scripture is so important. We can see where these applications are coming from. And that's why we spend time trying to understand what the text is before we apply the text. So many times people don't want to go through the process of hearing the Scriptures understood. They just want you to tell me what it says. Just cut to the chase. Just give me the application. You know, why do we spend a half hour before we get the 10 minutes of application? Answer, to know that the 10 minutes of application is legit. That the practical advice is based on the sound principles of the Word of God. Because if it isn't, then that advice, that counsel, doesn't profit. In fact, it is unhelpful. B, what we teach to our children, how we respond to our co-workers, the applications we make in our Sunday school classes, the input that we have in our friends' lives should all be consistent with the teaching of Scripture. Fifthly, we guard our emotions by placing confidence in God's word rather than in riches. Psalm 119:14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Jump down to Psalm 119:10. Well, I'll do 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the dippings of the honeycomb. The Scriptures are more desirable than gold. Why do people desire gold? What is gold good for? You can't eat it. You can't eat it. So what is gold good for? 2 things. First, it's ornamental. It's decorative. But why is it decorative? Gold-plated wristband. Why is that viewed as beautiful? Because it's valuable. Because it's valuable. If gold weren't worth anything, it wouldn't be considered to be beautiful. But it's a display of wealth. It's a display of power. It's a display of gravitas that makes it beautiful. And why is it cherished? It's not because of what it can do. It's not a strong metal. It's not because, as I said, you can eat it. It's because of what it can purchase. Gold is equal to wealth. You can't eat it, but you can buy food with it. You can buy virtually anything with it. So it is practical. It is useful. But there are limitations, all right? We all have known that you can't buy love, the scripture says. You can buy companionship, but you can't, not scripture, but I mean, society says you can't buy love. You can buy companionship, but you can't truly buy love. But you can't buy being absolutely wealthy. You can't buy certain things. One of the things you can't buy is health. I remember very well, we sold my dad's property after he died. He had 35 acres. He had a beautiful home up on a hill. And a man came to buy it. He was an old friend of my father's. We had known him a long time. He was an extremely wealthy individual and wanted to live on that property for a long period of time, but my dad wasn't interested in selling. Finally, my dad died, so I called the man up and I said, you know, if you're really interested in this property, we're going to offer it for sale. So he came over and he walked through the house and I showed him around. And we went outside, beautiful view, and we looked over it. And he said, well, Cal, he said, I'm going to buy it. And then he teared up and he said, I always thought that my wife and I would live in this house. But he said, she's in the hospital. She's dying of cancer. And he said, you know, I've got plenty of money. And he said, I've taken her around the country. And he said, there's really no place else to take her. She's going to die. And he said, what good is my money? He said, I can buy this house. But he said, we're never going to live here. He said, now it's an investment. He said, I'll just turn around and sell it again. He's really dejected. What could his money buy? We need to understand that the scriptures are more valuable. For they can provide for us what money can't. Eternal life, health, strength, refreshment, renewal. We deprive ourselves when we deprive ourselves of the Word of God. We need to cherish it. As much as we would cherish riches. What does that mean? Well, we go after riches. We try to obtain riches. We devote ourselves to riches. So we should devote ourselves to the Word of God. This morning, I talked about worship. And in a veiled kind of way, I talked about the importance of trusting God with our wealth. And tried to talk about a right use of the Lord's day. And one of those right uses is to be here. And one of the temptations not to be here is to work. Because many times you can get overtime for working on Sunday. But the whole prohibition against work in the Old Testament, and I didn't get a chance to explain all that about the Sabbath was that it comes out of the manna. If you remember, 6 days they received manna, and on the seventh day there would be no manna. But the point was there'd be enough on the sixth day for the seventh day. One of the ways in which we trust God is to believe that he can make the money stretch, that I don't have to work all the time. I don't have to put in all this overtime. Now, I understand people's situations. They struggle. They're difficult. But I'm saying there's an element of faith to understanding the way in which God provides. And God can provide for us. And nothing instructs us in that truth more than the Word of God. So as I read the scriptures, my mind is reinforced, my faith is renewed, my courage is strengthened to believe, yes, God will and can provide for me. 6, we guard our planning and decision-making by repeatedly taking into consideration the Word of God. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So we trust in the Lord with all our heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That doesn't mean put your mind in neutral or throw out your intellect. But it is saying, don't let your measly intellect stand in judgment over God's word. Sometimes God's word doesn't make sense to us. Not in the sense that it's incomprehensible, but in the sense that it's impractical. It goes against our common knowledge and wisdom. For example, marching around a city 7 times and the walls are going to fall down. That doesn't happen. I love reading liberal stuff because it's so stupid. I hate to say that, but you read commentators and if they don't believe in the power and miracle of God, they're talking about walking around the city and they're loosening the foundations, and man, I don't care how hard they stamped, you're not gonna loosen the foundation of a 6-foot wall by marching around it. It was solely the power of God. Solely the power of God. That's what I'm talking about. When we say to ourselves, there can't be a virgin birth. How can that be? How can a woman who didn't have, how can that be? When we let our intellect stand in judgment over God's word and say, that can't be. Or we say, that can't work. Everything from walls falling down to maintaining our marriages. Well, we tried everything. It just won't work. Where's the power of God? Where's prayer? Where's adherence to his teachings? You see, I've got to believe that when I follow the word of God, that I'm going to see positive benefits from it. So I need to constantly, repeatedly take into consideration what the Word of God has to say. To strengthen that resolve, to continue that renewal, to uphold that belief and faith in our lives. Seventhly, we guard our life's ambition by a resolve to follow God's Word. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. The scriptures often speak of delighting in them. The psalmist said that he delighted in God's word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. So he's thinking about the word of God. And the key word there is to meditate, reflect. not just read, but sit back and ponder what it has to say and what its relevance is for our lives. I shall not forget thy word. There the aspect is not so much memorization, but it's that I don't put the word of God in the background. In Deuteronomy, Moses exhorts the children of Israel that when they enter the promised land, houses that they did not build, vineyards that they did not plant, when they experience all this great outpouring of God's goodness, the admonition is, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget what got you here. Don't forget that this was the blessing of God. Don't forget the Lord. One of the greatest hindrances to the church in the United States is our wealth. It's easy to forget the Lord. Have you ever heard the statement, there are no atheists in foxholes? When times are tough, there's just an immediate sense of calling out to God. Even in America, even in the secular world, remember Columbine? What did happen after Columbine? Our president told us that we ought to go to church and pray. People were praying. 9/11. People were talking about prayer. People were talking about going to church. When times are tough, there is a natural dependence upon God. When times are good, there is a tendency to forget God. The scriptures help us in times of abundance to continue to reflect upon God and not move away from Him. In Proverbs, it says, make me not rich, lest I have no need of thee. Make me not poor, lest I rise up and curse thee. Learning to be content with what we have, and the scriptures help us in that. So the conclusion is that the Holy Spirit is going to use the Word of God in our lives to reveal His will to us, to keep us strong and committed to Him, to help us to rejoice in that which we have, and to aid us in our prayer life. So the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. So we are moving progressively, beginning by saying, how am I going to know the will of God? Not by fleeces, not by signs, not by opening closed doors, by His Word, as the Holy Spirit teaches me His Word, as I rely on others to help me understand that Word, as I memorize that Word to empower me, as I reflect and meditate on that Word so that it becomes ingrained in me and becomes natural in my way of thought, as I continue on in the Word of God, that as I am blessed, I'm not wandering from Him, but in fact drawn ever closer to Him. So we will continue on in the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit's giving us Your Word. We confess and acknowledge, O Lord, the riches of our day. And those riches are not just in the material goods that we have, but in the spiritual riches that we possess, especially as we think about the Word of God. How in some places around this globe, people risk their lives to try to obtain a single page of Scripture. They try to smuggle it in. They try to copy it, sharing one page from another. And yet, Lord, most of us have many, many copies of the scriptures in our house. Help us not just to hoard them and to collect them, but help us to read, and not just to read casually, but to study, to memorize, to devote ourselves to, not with a sense of trying to show off our knowledge or simply to master a book, but Lord, that we might know you, know your word, grow by it, be nurtured by it, strengthened by it. May we delight in your word, and may it become more precious to us than any other possession that we have. Lord, endear your word to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.